Hello, one and all, and welcome to Film Fragments, a podcast where we take fragments of an actor, director, and genre and tell you our favorites from their catalog. My name is Brian Suffield. I'm your host, and I'm super excited to welcome you guys to this week's episode of Film Fragments. John Wick Chapter 4 makes its way to theaters this week, and we are going to be talking about our favorite film starring Keanu Reeves. This is a very, very, very exciting topic that we're going to be delving into. Keanu Reeves is one of the most likable people in the industry. He's such a talented guy. I know a lot of people think that he does the same thing, but, you know, there's a reason why we still go out of our way to see everything that this guy pumps out. He's just one of a kind. He's really, seriously, one of the most likable people in this entire industry. We love that we're going to be celebrating him today. And I am super excited to welcome today's guest. Now, today, this person has the honor of taking the title of our first returning guest. You may remember her from our fantastic episode on the recent Oscar winner, Guillermo del Toro. Today, Gabby Burgos is back to talk to me about Keanu Reeves. Hello, Gabby. Welcome back to the show.
I'm back. Thank you for having me again.
People keep asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh, that would have been a perfect way to introduce you. People keep asking if I'm back.
Yeah.
Gabby, it's so exciting to have you back on. I'm so excited to talk to you today about Keanu. How excited are you to talk about this wonderful man?
So, Keanu Reeves is the love of my life. So, I spend every day trying to, like, spread the Keanu Reeves agenda. So, yes, I am very excited to continue my mission in this planet.
And now you're finally here, and it's so exciting. Yeah. And, you know... Get ready for the curveball question. I cannot wait to hear your answer. Okay.
God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me again?
What Keanu character would you take to dinner and why?
Okay. So if it's a dinner, I want to like be relaxed and have a good time and not worry about being murdered. So I would have to go with his character from A Walk in the Clouds. Which I forgot his name. Let me look that up real quick. Paul Sutton. I would take Paul Sutton to dinner because it would be nice and chill. And, you know, we could have like fun conversations about wine.
Love that. Love that. You know, same for me. Whenever I go to dinner, I don't want to worry about getting murdered. So, unfortunately, I cannot take John Wick. Unfortunately, I cannot take Neo. I cannot take, what's his name from Point? Johnny Utah. I can't take him.
Unfortunately. Johnny Utah stays home.
And so, I am going to go with
the... Constantine
I can't take.
He's going to be changing
the game. So, I'm going to go with the character of Dr. Julian Mercer from Something's Gotta Give.
That is such a good answer. Oh my god. And he's a doctor, so he has money.
He has money. I don't have to worry about paying for dinner. He's very handsome in that movie.
Paul Sutton is broke. Why did I pick the broke one?
Because he's really hot in that movie. That's probably why you picked him. I thought you were going to pick Julian. I thought you were going to pick him from Someone's Gotta Give.
I don't know because he has a dinner and I'm like, I would love to have dinner because like I love A Walk in the Clouds and I think it deserves more love. So I'm going to go with A Walk in the Clouds.
Hey, that makes total sense. Someone's Gotta Give is great. Nancy Myers is, she's a queen and she's one of the best. And yeah, I'm still so amazed that he even worked with her. Like, that's just so cool. That's such a cool pairing. Director, actor, parent, that he, you know, he's done all these action movies, and then for a period of time he kind of stepped away. Then he did this rom com from Nancy Myers, and it's like,
like, he can do more rom coms.
Oh, don't even get me started. I mean, he absolutely should. Could someone please write him a rom com role, please? Like, anybody, please? Like, I love Keanu.
I got it.
Yeah, you gotta write it, Gabby. You need to write it.
I gotta do it.
Yes, I'm so excited. I will probably purchase that myself when I get money to do so. So why is Keanu Reeves the love of your life? Like, you when you came on a couple months ago and you talked about your love for Guillermo del Toro, you were super high on him and how he inspired you to get into making films. But what about Keanu? Like, what is your reason for loving Keanu so much? And why do you think a lot of people get excited whenever they see his name attached to a project?
This is an honest answer. I don't know.
I think that's the first time I've ever had a guest where they're like, I don't know.
I generally don't know where, like, this, I developed this love for him at, like, it's at one point in my life. Because, obviously, I watched The Matrix when I was younger, and I watched Speed, and, like, all of these movies went, and I knew who he was, and I would, and, like, my mom is a big Nancy Meyers fan, so, like, I watched Something's Gotta Give a few times, and The Lake House as well. But, I don't know, like, I think my love for him reached, like, peak intensity when John Wick 3 came out. I think that was when I was like, yeah, he's the love of my life. I don't really know what it was. I just, John Wick 3 came out, I was like, yeah. This is like my love for this one is gonna be like my entire personality. And that was like the summer. That was like the summer where I watched his entire filmography.
And why do you think a lot of people love him so much? You know, there was a period where Keanu Reeves was kind of stumbling in his career where he wasn't pumping out quality work. And then all of a sudden he had this resurgence. John Wick is essentially what saved his career. Like, there was a period where a lot of people were unsure if Keanu Reeves was ever going to have that great film in his catalog again. And then John Wick came out. Now everybody loves Keanu again, similar to how they loved him back in the 90s where he was doing Bill and Ted, My Own Private Idaho, Point Break, Devil's Advocate, Matrix, of course. Like, I just think that Keanu, there's not many actors we have nowadays from, like, you know, a couple of decades ago where they seem genuine and passionate about the craft that they're bringing to the screen. And Keanu, every project that he's involved in, you could tell that he has a genuine excitement to be a part of it, which is really lacking nowadays, I think, in Hollywood. Like, he's a classic movie star, like a classic Hollywood leading man. And, you know, now he's kind of taking that title back again with the John Wick films. And then when Matrix came back, it was a similar thing. So, you know, Keanu's just one of the best. He really is one of the best out there.
To quote one of his iconic lines in John Wick, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
I think that's it. I think because when you see interviews and the way he talks about his projects, you can tell that he's not in it for the money or the fame or anything. He just likes, you know, I love making movies.
I love movies.
He's in, and yeah, like, he might not have, like, the best, like, rated career in terms of, like, the types of movies that he has under his belt, but, no, he clearly has fun making them no matter what it is.
Yeah, like, he gives it his all, and he's someone that I love knowing that he could pretty much nail any genre. I like that, yeah, he's primarily known for his action roles, but I like that every once in a while you could see him in a drama like a My Own Private Idaho, or a romance like The Lake House, or an anime film like Toy Story 4. Like, I like how versatile he is as a performer, and he's also stepped behind the camera too. I've never seen his directorial debut before, but
I did.
Any good, bad, terrible?
So, no comment.
No comment? Okay, we'll move on from that. But, no, I'm excited to talk about Keanu because, you know, whenever I've done these episodes, like, it's always nice every once in a while where you could talk about an actor that's not really in it for the money, and they do these kinds of films that are fun and entertaining. Like, I just did an episode on Adam Sandler, and he's obviously someone that's not always in it for the money and everything. Like, he likes to have a good time and make movies with his friends, and then every once in a while he jumps into a project where he showcases his true range. And Keanu is pretty much the same way, except, like, he always gives it his all. Even if the screenplay is so incredibly putrid, he finds a way of passing that and delivering his all. So I am so, so curious to hear your list. This is a list that I've been very, very excited to hear ever since I booked you to come onto this show to talk about Keanu. So I just say, without further ado, let's get into our top five Keanu Reeves films. So, Gabby, what is your number five?
My number five. It was hard because, like, obviously, like, his most well-known movies are the best movies. But he also has a few hidden gems that I want to bring light to. So my number five Keanu movie is A Scanner Darkly, directed by Richard Linklater. I feel like nobody has heard about this film. Scanner Darkly is based on a book by Philip K. Dick of Blade Runner fame. He wrote Blade Runner and all of these sci-fi stories. So it's also an animated feature. It's in rotoscope animation, and it follows an undercover cop in the not too distant future that becomes involved with a dangerous new drug and begins to lose his own identity as a result. And this film also has an all-star cast. Like, it's Keanu, Robert Downey Jr., Woody Harrelson, Winona Ryder. Like, just it's really, really cool. And yeah, like, people don't talk about this movie at all, and it's such a mind fuck. And like, watching the movie, you can tell why it works as animated. There's no way that this film would translate into, like, this story would translate into live action. It had to be animated, and it's just an interesting take on it because you spend most of the film, you don't really know what's going on, and then at the end it all clicks together. I've never read the book, so I don't know how faithful it is to the adaptation. I've read other Philip K. Dick's works, but I haven't read this one specifically, so in terms of faithfulness, I can't really speak to it. But the story is very interesting, and it, like, at the end, everything is pieced together perfectly, so when you rewatch it, it's like everything was there from the very beginning. And it's just a really good movie, and I wish people talked about it more when referring to Keanu's filmography, because it's brilliant, and his performance as well is pretty good. Like, he's pretty much as confused as the audience is throughout the entirety of the film. So that's my number five.
I'm going to pass on this one. It's a little higher on my list. So I'm super excited to talk about
Scanner Darkly.
Oh, of course. Huge Linklater stan right here. So of course I know that.
You're like the first person that knows what a Scanner Darkly is.
Well, it is unfortunate that nobody knows that, especially the people out there that are like, I'm a big fan of Richard Linklater. Well, if you're a fan of Richard Linklater, then why the fuck haven't you seen this movie? I'll talk about it very, very shortly. It's a little higher on my list. I'm super excited to talk about it. Okay. My number five is a film that I just watched very recently for the first time. This is a film that a lot of people have been telling me for years to check out. It's one of Keanu's earliest films. It's definitely one of his more critical acclaimed projects, My Own Private Idaho, directed by Gus Van Sant. Now, I will admit that I wish I had watched this sooner. I had had the Criterion for... I think I got the Criterion during the height of COVID, and just now I finally watched it, and I really, really enjoyed this film. I think it's a pretty riveting drama. His chemistry with River Phoenix, who was taken from us way too soon and way too tragically, 30 years ago this year will mark since we lost him. It's very devastating that it's been that long since we lost a guy. They work off each other beautifully. If their chemistry didn't work, the whole movie would not have worked as well as it does. I am a fan of Gus Van Sant. He's not one of my absolute favorite filmmakers, but I think when he hits, he really knocks it out of the park. Good Will Hunting, I love Milk, the drink, and the movie, and I also love this movie as well. It's a very interesting film where you're unsure of where it's going to go. You think you have an idea of where it's going to go, but it's actually a way more compelling film than you would think. Now, River Phoenix is the main character of this story. You follow him pretty much the entire time during this movie. Keanu Reeves is one of his best friends, and they go on this journey together. And the journey of these two characters is really fascinating to follow. And this is a very emotionally devastating watch as well, especially because of how beautiful River Phoenix performance is. I'm not obviously like added on to the fact that he's no longer with us. It's just so heartbreaking to watch this character's journey progress throughout this 100-minute long film. And the sequence at the campfire, I'm not going to say anything else in case you guys haven't seen this movie, but oh my God, my eyes were literally so watery. My heart broke for River Phoenix. And I just, the delivery from both of them was so great. Keanu was so subtle in this movie, but then there were moments where he had that energetic personality to him. He was just so excited, like screaming from the top of his lungs, laughing and cheering. And it was really great to see him in this kind of film, especially considering the fact that this came out the exact same year as the Bill and Ted sequel. So imagine you're going to the theater in 1991, you go and see Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, then all of a sudden you find out, huh, Ted from Bill and Ted is in a drama with River Phoenix. I don't know if I buy that. And then you watch and you're like, oh, this is actually really, really great. And I would love Keanu to do more films like this because he hasn't really done as many straight up dramas as he used to back in the day. And I would love to see this side of him come back. And I feel like down the road we could get something like this from him. But I do see this film as one that could go higher for me. Upon rewatches, it's definitely going to be a while before I go back to checking this out. But man, some of the images are still lingering in my mind. The performances are great. I think it's written and directed so beautifully. And if you guys have not seen this film, definitely do yourself a favor and check it out. I also think it's really cool that Keanu has worked with both Phoenix brothers. Keanu was in, I believe he was in Parenthood, if I'm not mistaken, which Joaquin was also in, and this was right before Keanu did My Own Private Idaho. But yeah, My Own Private Idaho is definitely a film that everyone should check out because it is a very celebrated film for so many different reasons, and it is my number 5. So are you going to pass, or is this not on your list?
It's higher on my list.
I'm very, very curious to see where it lands for you. So now going into our number 4s, what is your pick?
My Own Private Idaho.
You said very higher, and it was one spot up. I like that. It was very clever. So why is My Own Private Idaho your number 4, and what are your thoughts on it?
It's one of Keanu's most vulnerable performances, and it was very interesting to see this side of him. Again, I saw this film in the middle of my Keanu marathon, so after having sat through so many action and arguably terrible movies, this film was a really nice refresher. And yep, I echo pretty much everything that you said regarding I just love the focus, like the relationship between him and River Phoenix in this film is just impeccable. And it's just such a beautiful movie and so heartbreaking. Like, I still think about the ending of that film.
Oh my God,
like, it just consumed. It's so, I don't think I've ever, like, experienced betrayal like that.
Oh, I know.
But, yeah, I also think that this is the closest that he ever came to getting nominated for an Oscar. And hopefully, you know, that's his next move. Make another film similar to My Own Private Idaho and he can get that nomination. Because I will campaign for him through hell and high water.
Listen, I think that if he works with Gus Van Sant again, Gus Van Sant could somehow, maybe, emphasis on maybe, could maybe lead him to get an Oscar, because he did that with Robin Williams for Good Will Hunting. He did that with Sean Penn for Milk. Maybe he could try with Keanu Reeves for something. I don't know what. It could be anything, but hopefully that happens. Like, I want this strain of actors from, like, the 90s to continue winning Oscars. Like, we just had Brendan Fraser and, you know, Michelle Yeoh, Ki-Hoo Kwan, and Jamie Lee Curtis win Oscars. I want Keanu to be one of the next people.
You know what? I'm officially campaigning for Keanu Reeves for the Oscar for John Wick 4.
The campaign starts now, baby. Starts now. Oh, man. Yeah, My Own Private Idaho is so good. And, the Criterion, I highly recommend. There's a lot of great supplements on it if anyone loves Criterion and they love that movie, somehow don't own the Criterion of that, you definitely should pick that up because it's really, really great. My number four is going to be Point Break. I love Point Break so much. I think it's just such a fun, exciting action movie. And oh my God, I think the pairing of him and Patrick Swayze is literal magic. They work off each other so beautifully. And, you know, when this movie came out, Patrick Swayze was at, like, the height of his career. Like, doing literally, like, you watch anything, Patrick Swayze is somehow in it. Also, it's crazy that this came out in 1991. It's, you know, Catherine Bigelow, the fact that I remember when I first saw this movie, this was right after, like, I had seen The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. I had no idea who directed the movie. All I knew was that Patrick Swayze and Keanu was in it. So I watch it, and then it said directed by Catherine Bigelow, and I'm like, wait, what? Catherine Bigelow? Damn, she knocked it out of the park. Not that I expected anything otherwise, but I'm just like, wow, this is incredible for her, you know, to direct this kind of movie, like this action movie, and she nailed it. The sequence where they're jumping out of the plane and everything, that, oh my God, literal goosebumps every single time. You know, this is no different from all the other undercover movies that we're seeing and everything, but, you know, you buy the chemistry between the two of them, Johnny Utah and...
They were in love, and you can't change my mind.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, Bodhi and Johnny Utah. I mean, God, Patrick Swayze, so love. Gorgeous. They're both that really gorgeous in
not,
this.
You can't tell me that, because the scene where he jumps after Bodhi from the airplane, he does so knowing he doesn't have a parachute. Uh-huh. Like, you can't tell me he did not do that without knowing that Bodhi was someone trying to catch him.
Uh-huh, exactly, exactly.
You can't convince me otherwise.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's been so long since I've seen this movie. It's been a long time. I wasn't able to rewatch it before this podcast, and I just remember, like, really loving it. And a lot of people say it's one of the most manliest movies about men ever. Yeah, but somehow it's still really good, and I don't know.
It's the female gaze. It's the female gaze.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. When people say manliest movies about men, I'm like, I don't know about that. But that being said, if you haven't seen Point Break and you love Keanu, you're not a true Watch Keanu movie. Fan if you haven't seen Point Break. And I'm sorry. Why the fuck would they remake Point Break? When they remade Point Break...
We did not talk about that remake.
We did not talk about
that. What remake are you talking about? Brian, what remake are you talking about?
You know what? I don't even know.
What are you talking about? There's no Point Break remake.
I just answered your question. I said I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Maybe I'm just thinking something in my head. Anyway, this is the Point Break. This is the only Point Break that exists. There's nothing else, and there never will be anything else. So Point Break is great. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's my number four. Are you going to pass, or is this not on your list?
It's higher.
Is it your number three?
No.
Okay. What is your What is your number three?
I'll Walk in the Clouds. That is just, that movie just fulfills one of my favorite tropes, which is the fake marriage trope. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and ignore a movie about Keanu Reeves pretending to be married to someone just so she doesn't get into trouble. And when he looks like that, like, look up a picture of Keanu Reeves in A Walk in the Clouds and you will understand. It's just a cliche movie that hits all of the spots. Like, it's so good. Is it outdated? Yes. Do I still watch it and give it 5 stars every time? Yes. Both things can be true. This was one of the films that stuck with me during, like, the whole marathon. It's so, like, there's this scene where Keanu Reeves and the female lead, I forgot her name, they're living in a winery, and there is, like, a small fire, and so they have to, like, you know, extinguish the fire and whatever. And so the way that they're doing it to make sure that none of it, like, continues spreading after it's shut off is, like, they're, like, I mean, they're kind of, like, these wings, and they have to, like, do this, kind of, like, flap them and, like, spread the smoke or something like that. And it's one of the most magical scenes because she has the wings and she's, like, you know, teaching him how to do it. And he's, like, behind her and they're moving their arms together in between of the smoke and, like, the bushes. And it's, like, the most beautiful thing. Just gotta see it for yourself and fall in love as I did with this movie.
Well, now that you said all that, now I have to watch it.
Please do.
I will watch it because you're my buddy and I love you and I love your enthusiasm for this, so I will definitely check it out for that. Yeah, I mean, it does sound very generic, but I mean, I looked at the poster as you were speaking. You're like, look up what he looks like. I looked him up and I'm like, oh my Jesus.
Exactly. And then he spends the rest of the movie in a tank top. And this was 1995. So peak Keanu.
Oh, damn. Now I really have to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You have to. So you've never seen it, so it's not on your list.
No, it's not on my list. I'll be honest. I never heard of it until you brought it up. I apologize.
It's okay. I forgave you.
It's going on my list. I'm literally going to add it to my Letterboxd watch list.
Right now, Brian. Yeah, right now.
It's happening. See, A Walk in the Clouds. If Letterboxd would load, that'd be great. I'll add it when Letterboxd wants to work. Okay. My number three is A Scare Darkly, which I'm so glad that you put on your list. I'm so, so happy that you put it on your list because here's
this
the thing.
This is the Scanner Darkly agenda.
Like, okay. I remember when I first saw this movie and I was doing a deep dive of Richard Linklater's filmography. It was right after Boyhood came out and I had wanted to marathon all the movies from him that I had seen, which was pretty much most of them. And I looked at his films and I saw the listing for this movie called A Scare Darkly. And it's like Keanu Reeves, Woody Harrelson, Winona Ryder, Robert Downey Jr. I'm like, okay, that's a great lineup of actors. Richard Linklater, fantastic filmmaker, one of the best. And it's a thriller and it's animated. And it's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, the guy who wrote Blade Runner, Minority Report. I'm like, yeah, I would love to watch that. You never would picture Richard Linklater as the kind of filmmaker to do a project like this, but this is a very, very, very sick movie. It's a very cool investigation. It's an awesome mystery, and Richard Linklater is not the kind of filmmaker who would ever tackle a mystery, so this was the film that he did right after Before Sunset, and you would think after that he would do, like, you know, another romance, another movie with dial where it's just about talking and about time and everything, because he loves the element of time in his films, which isn't a problem whatsoever. Richard Linklater is one of the best. I mean, I could go on a whole discussion about him, but this is one of
his. It's taking 20 years for Merrily We Roll Along.
I know. Like, I don't want to wait that long. just release it now, god damn it. But I think this is just such a cool film for him to tackle. And it's like you had said, you think if this would work in live action, it wouldn't have, honestly. I think the style of rotoscope animation is the perfect way to present the story. Yeah. Because if you had done this in just hand-drawn or CGI, it probably wouldn't have worked. And
it wouldn't. Like, just think of the scenes where they're wearing, like, those suits.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have
absolutely
worked at all.
Absolutely. And the thing with Richard Linklater that I love so much about him when he does anime films is that rotoscope is really not that popular. A lot of people do hand-drawn or CGI or even motion capture, but Richard Linklater decides, no, I want to do my own kind of animation. I want to do one that's not super popular. And rotoscope is so him. Anytime I see anything with rotoscope animation, I just think of him. Like, I do not like Waking Life at all. I know a lot of people love that movie. I just don't vibe with it at all. It's one of those movies where simply I might just not understand it. And maybe I'm just too dumb to get it. But it is what it is. But this and Apollo 10 and a half, I love. I loved Apollo 10 and a half. It was one of my favorite films of last year. I think it should have been nominated for the Best Anime Feature Oscar. It's really unfortunate that there was a period where it wasn't even eligible to be on the shortlist because of its rotoscope animation. But then these animators are like, rotoscope is a form of animation. Damn yeah. Fucking right it is. Anyway, I love Keanu's work in this. I think he's fantastic. Robert Downey Jr. is hysterical. Woody Harrelson is great. There's a Catch Me If You Can reference in this movie. They mention Catch Me If You Can, and that makes me so happy. Yes, there has never been a movie, I think, ever that has ever mentioned Catch Me If You Can. So, Richard Linklater, thank you for mentioning my all-time favorite film in one of your films. I'm very, very grateful for that. And Winona Ryder, too, she is absolutely insane in this. She's really great. There was a period where I just forgot that Winona Ryder was as big of a name back in the day. And now, obviously, she's well-known and everything because of Stranger Things. Like, she has this
my
resurgence.
My villain origin story is people refer to her as the lady from Stranger Things. Like, excuse me.
Oh, no. I knew who she was before Stranger Things. What I'm saying is that there was a period where people, like, didn't really remember her, then Stranger Things kind of reinvigorated her career. Although I like to think that Black Swan is what launched her back into stardom. But a lot of people are like, her role is small in that. Yeah, but her role is great. In the hospital where she literally just screams at Natalie Portman, that's great stuff right there. That's fantastic work. No, I love, like, practically everything about this movie is just, it's just something out of left field for Linklater, and it's the kind of film that I wish we could see more of from him, because he's a guy that has tackled a lot of different genres. I mean, he's about to do his first musical in Merrily We Roll On, which I'm so curious to see how that's going to pan out. The fact that he's working with Paul Mescal, that's such an awesome thing. That's so exciting.
I think his decision to just, like, film it in real time and take 20 years, which is, like, the span of time that the story takes place, is very interesting, but also, sir, we might be dead before you release the movie.
Yeah,
like,
or not to be a pessimist, but he might be dead. We don't know.
All of us.
Like, literally all of us might be dead. So, Rich, Linky, Linklater, get that shit out now. Just film all of it at once. Mm-hmm. You have makeup.
Makeup is a thing.
Like, you can make them look older. You could do
You're
it.
Doing a Broadway revival of Merrily We Roll Along, dude. Come on.
With Daniel Radcliffe, my favorite
Jonathan
person.
Groff.
Jonathan Groff. And I forgot who
Lindsay
the other person.
Lindsay Mendes.
Yeah, that's her. That's the one. Like, oh, man.
I speak fluent theater.
Oh, God. Love it. Love it. Yeah, A Scare in Darkly, seriously, is one of Linklater's best movies. It's also, honestly, it might be his most underrated movie. I'm really thinking a lot
Absolutely.
About it. Like,
I never listen to it.
People
talk
about Boyhood. People talk about the Before trilogy. They talk about School of Rock, and those are all great movies. But A Scare in Darkly is one of his best. And again, it's cool that he was able to pull off something like this, because you would never expect the guy who made School of Rock and Days of Confused to make this mystery film. And it works beautifully. It was a box office flop, which, I mean, that doesn't surprise me one bit. But, hopefully the following towards this movie increases someday, because this really deserves a much bigger following. Yeah, I love A Scanner Darkly, and this, I'm so glad that we finally got to talk about it on the podcast, because I haven't done an episode where I was able to talk about this movie, and now we finally got to do it, considering we talked about the star of the movie. And I'm just so happy, because really, like, you know, there are a lot of people that I look up to and respect that have seen The Scare Darkly, and they're like, it's so confusing, I don't understand anything about it.
It's confusing, but at the end you learn why it's told the way it's told.
But also, why does everything have to make sense? Leave things up in the air for people. People are always just want all the answers handed to them. That's not fun. That's not fun at all. I like interpreting things, but yeah, Scare Darkly, please check it out if you haven't seen it. It's incredible. So now we get into our top two. I am so curious to what films Gabby has in her top two. I'm so curious. So What is your second favorite Keanu film of all time?
Point Break. It's just so good. Like, I watched that movie for the first time, and I was like, I have no notes. That was so good. The ending of Point Break is one of my all-time favorite endings. And also, I think my favorite fact about Point Break is that it came out in 1991, the same year as My Own Private Idaho and Bill and Ted 2. So I just can't imagine Keanu going from filming all of those three movies.
And all three different films. They're all so different from one another.
Completely different. Like, the stoner comedy that is Bill and Ted, to the high drama that is My Own Private Idaho, to the action that is Point Break. I just want to know which one was filmed first.
I don't think I want to know.
No, because I have so many questions, because at the end of Point Break, he has, like, the long hair and kind of, like, the remnants of a beard. So he has long hair in Bill and Ted, so that makes sense. And his hair is not that long. He has more of, like, a Point Break hairstyle in My Own Private Idaho.
Yeah.
So naturally, it makes sense that maybe it was Bill and Ted. Then Point Break, and then My Own Private Idaho.
Right.
Which is based on off of his hair. This is how my brain works. That's what I think about, just, like, Keanu's hair.
Wait, I think I have an idea of how we could get Keanu an Oscar. Catherine Bigelow, can you come out of hiding and make a film where it could get all these Oscar nominations and you could get Keanu an Oscar? Please, can we make that happen, please? Can you imagine how amazing it would be if they collaborate together again? Like,
I would not. I love Catherine Bigelow. I think her strength is action. And Keanu's strength is definitely action as well. So, like, them pairing up again would be perfect. Like, it can just be, like, an action drama situation. Or maybe just, like, do, like a Zero Dark 30 and base it off some, like, secret government conspiracy and have Keanu in the... That'll get him an Oscar.
Please. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, Zero Dark 30 and Hurt Locker were both successes, their award seasons.
Yeah, she was the first woman to win.
The first woman to win Best Director. A very deserving win, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, come on. Let's make that happen. Catherine Bigelow, if you're listening to this, first of all, I love you, Strange Days. Honestly, near masterpiece. Like, that film is incredible.
Near Dark deserves more love.
I need to see that movie. I have to see that one. That's very high on my list.
It's so weird. I love it. It's a biker vampire movie. It's fucking great.
What? Oh, now I have to watch that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that sounds literally like my kind of movie. Yeah, Point Break and number two is a great pick. That's an awesome pick.
Point Break is, like, I think it's a, like, it's not a perfect movie, but in my heart it is.
In your heart, absolutely. And hey, we have plenty of movies like that. Like, there are many movies that may not be perfect, but to us, in our hearts, they're perfect.
It's basically, like, the one Keanu Reeves movie that me and my dad are on the same page on.
The one?
Yeah.
What?
Because my dad, if you ask my dad what his favorite Keanu Reeves movie is, it's The Replacements, which is a football movie. I hate football. I just watched it for him. I think he's funny in it, but, like, it's not a good movie.
Right.
And my dad loves it, because my dad loves sports movie, obviously. It's a genre designed specifically for dads. And then we were talking, when I saw Point Break for the first time, I was telling him about Point Break, but I was like, I watched that in the theater. And I was young. It's pretty great. He was like, it's a pretty great movie. I agree.
Yeah, damn right. It's a great movie. It's so, so good.
It's so good.
So good. Okay, my number two... I knew that it would be really bad if I didn't include a John Wick film on my list. I love all three of the films equal. Like, it's really hard for me to choose a favorite. I've only seen each of them just one time, and I'm gonna rewatch them, like, right before the new one comes out.
Embarrassing. I've seen the first John Wick movie, like, at least 15 times.
Well, that's 14 more times than me. And hey, you should be proud of that. You should be proud of having seen John Wick Chapter 1. Well, actually, it's just called John Wick 15 times. So for me, It's tough. They're all so good. All three are equally great, in my opinion. These are the kind of movies that I love to see in the action genre now. But I think I'm going to go with the one that started it all. I'm going to go with the first John Wick as my number two. I remember walking into John Wick just really not knowing what to expect. I remember seeing the trailer and I'm like, this looks like ass. This looks so stupid. And a lot of people were honestly on the same page. And also, this was marketed super late, like not too long before it came out. And everyone's like, that's John Wick. And then everyone saw the trailer and they're like, that looks bad. And then I remember people went to go see this at press screens and everyone's like, oh my God, this film is great. And I'm like, John Wick? That film looks like crap. And they're like, no. It's great. And I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it. And I went to go see it and I literally ate my words because the first John Wick rocked my world in so many different ways. I really love how it's not entirely focused on the action. The thing about blockbusters nowadays is that a lot of them tend to focus solely on the style and not the substance, or add a mix of the two. John Wick, a lot of people could say, focuses so much on the action and everything, but you're still so compelled by John Wick as a character. You're invested in what's going on with him. You're interested in following his journey and what's going to happen. You're rooting for him. You want the best for him. And plus, Keanu is just so likable that you just want to root for this guy the entire time. And you know, the first John Wick, obviously he's retired from the game. He had lost his wife and, you know, he just wants to enjoy the retirement life and just relaxing. And just so he drives around his beautiful car and then gets the cutest fucking dog of all time. And I will tell you that this movie definitely hits a lot harder now than it did when it came out, as someone who recently lost his dog. I think that it's just I don't know why. It's an exciting popcorn action movie, but it also makes you feel so like it stains. It's so good. The action is fantastic. The action sequences are beautifully handled. Like, the stunt work here is impeccable. Keanu is a badass. We literally said the quote, people keep asking if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Listen, I had never heard more excitement from a crowd at that point in my life until he said that. Everyone was so excited. I literally felt like I was at a Marvel movie. The hype was just so high in that theater. It was, like, so incredibly high. And, you know, Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones, my God, I never hated a character more in my entire life until I saw him
in this movie.
And, you know, a lot of people could be like, oh, he's only doing this because his car was stolen and his dog was killed and everything. Then you're like, okay, when you realize the crux of why he did what he did, you're like, okay, now I get it. Yeah, you're damn right. It's just an emotional journey for the guy, and it's so good. And the entire ensemble surrounding Keanu in this series, I'm going to talk about the first one, obviously, since that's what I'm talking about right now. The entire ensemble in that first John Wick is so incredible that I cannot even tell you who I think is the standout because, oh man, Michael, I can't pronounce his name. The villain, Michael Knife.
Yeah.
Do you know how to pronounce his name?
Let me look it up.
Michael Nyquist. I don't know. I feel
like Nyquist. I think it's Nyquist.
Yeah, Nyquist. Yeah, he, incredible performance. Fantastic villain performance. Ian McShane, my God. Every time he's in these movies, he's so good. He's so good. Ian McShane is one of my favorite character actors working today. I always love seeing him in anything that he's in. He always delivers. Willem Dafoe, he has quite a role in this movie, and he's always great because he's Willem Dafoe. And I have to shout him out. It's just so heartbreaking to talk about this. When we're recording this, we just found out yesterday about the very sudden loss of Lance Reddick. And it's very hard to talk about this, but one of the most, honestly, he was a badass presence to every single thing that he was in. And, you know, that character, again, I haven't seen these movies in so long, but every time he was in these movies, regardless of how big or small his screen time was, always delivered, always knocked it out of the park. I just really love the entire ensemble that this franchise has put together. Like, all the actors that they get per film, like, it's like they always get in great new additions. Like, when Lawrence Fishburne came on for Chapter 2, that was so exciting. When Halle Berry came on for Chapter 3, that was so exciting. And now we have Bill Skarsgård coming in for Chapter 4, and I'm just like, oh my god, like, they keep getting all these incredible actors to join these films, and that's just so great. The work, seriously, the work here is incredible. Also, I'm sorry, the nightclub sequence in this, oh my god, literally, the last time I had seen a nightclub sequence in a movie that literally made my skin crawl and just, like, leap up was Collateral, the nightclub sequence in that movie, which is another fantastic film. And, yeah, John Wick, like, the action is incredible. You go to it for the action, but also the story is so compelling. And again, I wish we got more action films that had compelling stories. And I know that you're not always supposed to go to these movies for the stories, but it's nice when they put in effort to give you a good story, but also great action, which what you came for. But yeah, the John Wick series is great. It's really, like, you can, if you pick Chapter 2 as your favorite, or if you pick Chapter 3 as your favorite, like, there's no wrong answer. They're all equally great movies. So it's really hard to pick which one is your favorite. But I think the reason why I'm going with the first one is because it's the one that started off this whole franchise. And I talked about this earlier, but this movie really, honestly, I think saved Keanu's career. There was a period where Keanu's career was not looking very good. And then he was given the opportunity to be in John Wick. And it brought what you loved seeing from him in the 90s and early 2000s. And now everybody loves Keanu again. Everyone gets excited whenever they see Keanu in the film. And it's really due to the success of this series. And yeah, I love John Wick so much. I love these films. I'm so excited for Chapter 4. We'll talk about Chapter 4 a little bit later when we talk about some of the films he has coming out. But yeah, I love this series. And the first one is easily still my favorite of the bunch. So now going into our number ones, our favorite Keanu Reeves films of all time. I don't think we have the same number one. I don't think so. I am so curious to hear what your favorite Keanu Reeves film of all time is.
John Wick.
Why is John Wick your favorite Keanu Reeves film of all time?
The date was September 2014. The Maze Runner had just come out in theaters. I went to watch it with my friends. And the trailer for John Wick plays. And I'm like, my reaction was, oh my god, isn't that the guy from The Day the Earth Stood Still? That looks...
I'm crying, oh my god.
This was 2014, so pre-Keanu obsession. Okay? Like, and my friends are like, that's the guy from The Matrix, and I'm like, that too. So I don't know why I remembered, like, did they hear still first over The Matrix? That is a question for another day. I don't know. But I'm seeing this trailer, and, like, obviously the trailer shows that they kill his dog, and he goes haywire, and I'm like, from a personal perspective, I understand. But this looks, like, arguably terrible. How are you going to make an entire movie about a dog, like, avenging your dog? That's kind of ridiculous. And then I remember it comes out in theaters. I don't watch it in theaters. I read the Wikipedia summary of it. And then at the end, I remember, like, reading the Wikipedia summary for it and telling my friends, oh, that, remember that movie we saw a trailer for? He just gets another dog at the end. And then... fast forward, Chapter 2 comes out. I'm like, again? Do they kill the second dog this time? Again, don't watch it in theaters. However, when they were filming Chapter 3, I saw behind the scenes photos of him riding horses in New York. And I was like, so you're telling me we've gone from like a dog to like him now riding horses in the middle of Times Square for some ungodly reason? Okay, I guess it's time to give the shit a go. And in 2019, which is embarrassing, but in 2019 was when I saw like the first John Wick movie for the first time, and I think it's a core memory for me watching John Wick for the first time. So I was just sitting there like, what the actual fuck? Like, this is incredible. Like, from a storytelling perspective, it's not a mindless action film. There is reason behind his. And now when you look at Keanu's like story, like everything he's gone through his life, John Wick is a cathartic project for him, which is why it's probably one of his best performances, because he channels so much from what he's gone through into John. Like, John is a man filled with grief, and Keanu has gone through a lot in his life. So seeing, you know, like, I have a whole essay on why the John Wick movies are the best, because it's not just about the dog. He's avenging the life that he lost. Like, that dog was the last thing he had left of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That car was a symbol that he had escaped, that he had, like, left that life behind. So you destroy everything that he had worked to leave behind. So, of course, he's gonna go batshit crazy on you. And, like, from a filmmaking perspective, the cinematography in this film, so I think my favorite detail of the John Wick films that I remember, I showed this to my dad, and now my dad can never unsee it. It's when he is by himself and there's a blue light. That means every person he encounters is going to die. But when it is red, that means that he is in danger and that you don't know who's going to make it out. And I think that's just brilliant storytelling. In the using, you know, lighting and cinematography, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. So let me ask you this: like, when you finally ended up watching John Wick, did you remember everything that you had read from that Wikipedia summary, or no? Did you forget everything that had happened?
I just knew that he got another dog at the end. I honestly did not remember like
everything else practically.
Yeah, no, and I didn't know anything about Chapter 2 either, so, like, the end of Chapter 2 is probably my favorite John Wick ending.
Oh my god, that's literally one of my favorite studio endings and so on. Like,
it's so fucking good, and I just think that it was brilliant to end Chapter 2 there and start Chapter 3 right there.
Oh my god, like...
It's like a seamless transition.
Oh, so seamless, so seamless. Like... Oh my god, it was brilliant. It was brilliant how they ended that film. I was like, wow. Like, that right there is how you do...
Yeah. It's so good. And, like, going into the franchise... I know you said just talk about one movie, but you can't, like, not talk about the entire franchise. Because, like, the entirety of the world is what makes these movies good. Because they announced Chapter 2, and you're like, oh, what, they're going to kill the other dog? No, it elaborates on the world in itself. Because in the first movie, it's like, oh, so it's like this Hotel of Assassins in New York. Second film, actually, it's a global thing.
Mm-hmm.
Third film, actually... It's not just a global thing. There's, like, this whole hierarchy of assassins going on in the world. Oh, shit. That's cool. The world building in this franchise is so fascinating.
That's what makes this franchise work as well as it does. Like, yeah, the action is obviously so incredible and so exciting. And so
it's justifiable action as well. It's not mindless. Like, every moment is just... There's plot, there's character development.
Yes.
Like, that's not something that's present in a lot of...
We don't have a lot of action movies that are like that. And not every action movie has to be like John Wick. Like, there could be mindless action movies, because sometimes those are fun to watch. It is fun sometimes to go into a movie and shut your brain off and just enjoy what's going on, even if it makes absolute no goddamn sense. But these films, like, the world that is surrounding these characters is just so fascinating, and we don't have many franchises like this. Like, the reason why I think this franchise and the Mission Impossible films work so well is because of the world building that's surrounding these characters so well. Like, that's what I like to see. I like knowing that every once in a while we get these kinds of action movies that have this world building surrounding them. And then you understand, like, oh, now I understand why we're getting sequels to this. Because, you know, obviously whenever you get a sequel, like, you're not surprised when it does well financially and critically and everything. And then you realize that they're actually adding more to it. You're like, okay, now this is why these sequels work. And, man, you know, you have actually already seen Chapter 4. And I would love to just hear your little thoughts on it. Like, as brief as possible, obviously without spoiling anything. Talk about your experience with watching Chapter 4.
I cried in Chapter 4. It was the first time I've actually cried in a John Wick movie. And, I mean, there's a lot that went into me seeing this movie, like, for other reasons. But I don't know how much I can say, because there's something about that film that I did not have knowledge of. So seeing it, I was like, what? Wait, hold on a minute. And I'm like, I don't know if other people know about this. So basically, it's almost 3 hours long, and it's worth every minute. The action is batshit crazy. Like, you think they've done it all. No, turns out they haven't. Turns out they can do a lot more.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to see it. I'm so hyped.
It's such a good cast as well. All of the new additions, you think, because I was personally worried, because, you know, it's such a big cast, and it's, will each of them have their time to shine? Mm-hmm. Or are they just going to be there for 5 seconds and not have any lasting impact? But they each, like, all of the new cast members have their moment, and it's like, they're a scene stealer in every scene that they're on, especially Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen was absolutely fantastic.
I'm so excited. Oh my god, I cannot wait.
It's an incredible film. It's my favorite film of 2023, and it's gonna stay up there.
Yeah, it seems very much a Gabby thing to have this as your favorite film. I mean, obviously, it's still super early in the year, but, like, it wouldn't surprise me if this stays in your top five of the year.
Chapter 3 did not remain my number one of 2019 because Parasite came out.
Okay, that's a fair enough reason, because that was the best film that year. So, you know, that's an interesting. So wait a minute, your number one was Parasite, and your number two was John Wick 3.
It actually ended up going a little bit lower because then The Lighthouse came out.
Oh.
So okay, that year it ended up being The Lighthouse, Parasite, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, The Farewell, Booksmart, and John Wick 3.
Oh my god, John Wick 3 being in your top 10 is so inspiring. That's so cool. That's a really cool top 6. I love all those movies. I literally love all those movies.
That year, John Wick 3 made it to my top 10 and Avengers Endgame didn't.
That's insane. That's crazy. John Wick 3 being the big budget film to make your top 10, that's just so cool. That's awesome.
I don't have it on me right now, but I have a John Wick Funko Pop.
Well, you have your Sweeney Todd shirt on you right now, so it's, you know, we'll allow that. Yeah, so obviously John Wick is your number one. That's a really great pick. I love it. I love that pick. And number one for me, I am so shocked that this didn't make your list. I'm really genuinely shocked that The Matrix did not make your list.
I knew you were going to say The Matrix.
It's just The Matrix is such a special film to me. And I remember when I first saw this movie back in high school, I took a film class my junior year of high school.
Oh my god, I saw it in high school in film class too for the first time.
Yeah, and it was the first film that we had watched in the class. We were doing something on, like, sci-fi. Like, I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but like, visual effects heavy movies. That was a great class. That was honestly the best class in high school. That was the best high school class. Anything film, I'm there immediately. But Yeah, I remember watching it and just being like, oh my God, this shit is fucking fire. This shit is great. And in that moment, I'm like, am I just loving it because I'm just so hyped by it? But then I watched it again and I'm like, no, this is actually a genuinely great movie. Like, the last time I watched it was right before the new one came out. They re-released the first film in IMAX, which, I mean, oh my God, the IMAX transfer of this was absolutely stunning. It looked so crisp and so sharp. It looked incredible. It was fantastic. The visual effects in this movie, I still think look amazing.
Oh yeah.
This film was almost 25 years old, and there are films that come
Oh
out now that look worse than this. This film has masterful work on the technical side, like the imagery, the visuals, the costumes, the stunts, the score, the editing. On a technical level, this is a marvel. This is absolutely a marvel. And you know what? I love the story of the film. I think the story is just so engrossing and compelling, and I really love how it's this genre blend of all these different tones. You have sci-fi, you have action, you have inspiration from Japanese animation, martial arts films. The choreography in this film is absolutely sublime. It's really incredible what they're able to pull off in this. It's really insane how they're able to make this work as well as it does. Keanu is so good as Neo, and I know a lot of people are like, the acting in The Matrix isn't the strongest suit of The Matrix. I agree, it's not my favorite aspect of the film either, but I love all the performances from everybody. He is great. Lawrence Fishburne is a goddamn beast in everything that he's in, and he is so good as Morpheus. That is a fantastic performance. And when the news came out in 2015, right after John Wick 1 came out and they were prepping for John Wick Chapter 2, that Lawrence Fishburne was going to be in it, I was so fucking excited, Gabby. You have no idea. My hype was so high. I was like, oh my God, Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu are working together again. This is like the coolest thing ever. Now let's get Carrie Ann Moss to be in John Wick 2 as well, please. Like, please, can we make that happen? And God, and Carrie Ann Moss in this, oh my, first of all, so incredibly stunning in this movie. So incredibly stunning. Literal queen. Love her so much. She is so good. I really genuinely believe that this is one of the greatest action films of all time.
Oh, a
It's
thousand
just
percent.
it's really one of the best, and it still holds up so beautifully to this day. The whole final fight sequence between Neo and
Agent Smith.
it's so good. Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith is literally like some of the best cast, some of the best villain casting ever. The Matrix really is an incredible film, and like it still holds up so well. The action, the acting, everything is so great. There's no notes. Literally one of the best films I've ever seen. Definitely top 100 of all time for me. Right, super close to my top 50. Super close to my top 50. I love it so much. I think it's Keanu's best film. It's my favorite film that he's done. And to just briefly go through the sequels really quickly, I like Reloaded. Revolutions is okay in my opinion. It's not terrible. I don't hate it, but when you compare it to the first two, especially that first one, massive step down. Not that Reloaded is a masterpiece either, in my opinion, but like Reloaded is a solid follow-up. And then they made Revolutions, and it's like, oh, I don't understand why they were released both of them in the same year. I literally have never understood that. Like, I remember reading that both of them were released literally in the same year. Reloaded came out in the summer, and then Revolutions came out at Thanksgiving. And it's like, that's too close to have these sequels come out. You should have just done 1 year apart, not 6 months apart.
I didn't mind because, again, they did film them both at the same time. Because this was post Lord of the Rings. This was like post Lord of the Rings, like filming all of the movies at the same time. So they took the same approach. And I like considering the cliffhanger that they leave you on in Reloaded, like, I didn't mind. I would have been upset if I had to wait in real time and just having to wait 6 months in between films. Because it's not like production was rushed in either one. They were filmed at the same time, so like the equal amount of post-production. And obviously, Revolutions had a little more time because it was 6 months in between.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're fine. And then, oh my god. What the hell is the one that just came out? Resurrections. I don't know why I forgot the name because it just came out like a year and a half
ago. Listen, I am a wrestler. I'm a Resurrections apologist.
I don't hate Resurrections. I don't hate it. I liked it when I saw it in theaters, but then I tried watching it again, and my appreciation for it went down a smidge. I don't think it's awful, but my hype was really, really, really high for Resurrections. I was just so excited considering that it was this period where Keanu has done, like, he was coming back to all these characters that he had played. He had just done Bill and Ted 3, and that was really exciting. And the fact that he was playing Neo again was so exciting too, especially at this point in his career where he's so popular again. And I will not, that like, we're not going to spend too much time on this, but the trailer, that first trailer for that movie,
I cried,
is honestly one of the best trailers of the past 5 years, in my opinion. Like, that is how you do a trailer. That is how you do a first trailer for a highly anticipated sequel like The Matrix. And also, you met one of the stars of this movie. You met Yaya.
Don't tell Keanu that you know, Yaya is also, like, aka my husband.
No, I mean, like, it was cool being back in that world. I don't know if we're ever gonna get another Matrix. I personally don't really need another Matrix movie.
I personally hope not.
Like, I think that was a good way to just...
It's a good ending.
I think that was the way to go.
The ending for Revolutions was not...
No.
Good?
No.
And I think what what I really like about Resurrections is how they gave Lana Wachowski more freedom to do the movie that she wanted to make.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the type of freedom that that both her and Lily didn't have when they first made the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So just seeing that she ended up making what she wanted to make, I respect that. Is it the best Matrix movie? No, but it was still a lot of fun. And I really like the callbacks to the original trilogy. And Chad Stahelski's cameo made me cry. When he appears, and he was like, "My name is Chad," I screamed, cried, throwed up. I was just... Because for those of you who are not aware, Chad Stahelski was a stuntman in the original Matrix trilogy. And that's how he and Keanu met and kept in touch. And Chad Stahelski went on to make the John Wick movies. And part of the reason why they're so good is, obviously, Chad Stahelski is an experienced stuntman. So he knows how it all works, and you pair him up with Keanu, bread and butter.
Literally.
So his cameo in Resurrections, like, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Whoever came up with that idea, brilliant.
Yes, and The Matrix is my number one, and yeah, that's a good way to end our top five list. So before we talk about some of the honorable mentions, we'll quickly go through some of the honorable mentions, and we'll also go through some of the films he has coming out. So let's recap our list before that. So, Gabby, what is your list from 5 to 1?
My top 5. Scanner Darkly, My Own Private Idaho, A Walk in the Clouds, Point Break, John Wick.
And to recap my list, coming in at number 5 is My Own Private Idaho, number 4 is Point Break, number 3 is Scanner Darkly, number 2, John Wick, and number 1, The Matrix. So that is it with our list. So let's just quickly go through some of the honorable mentions. So, what are some of the films that you want to give a shout-out to from Keanu's filmography?
Much Ado About Nothing. The Lake House. The Private Lives of Pippa Lee. And The Whole Truth. The Whole Truth is arguably bad, but it was fun.
For me, I don't have a lot of honorable mentions because I unfortunately haven't seen as many Keanu films as Gabby, but I'll do my best. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Dracula, Speed, Devil's Advocate, Something's Gotta Give, and I liked Toy Story 4. I know that there are a lot of people out there that don't like Toy Story 4. Obviously, his role wasn't as big as I would have liked it to be, but as someone who went into Toy Story 4 ready to really not like it and walked out of it absolutely riveted by it, I felt like I had to give a shout-out to that, and I really hate that they're making the Toy Story 5, but that's a different discussion for another time. So those are my honorable mentions for sure. And to go through some of the films that he has coming out, now, there is not a lot listed of what he has coming out, but the only, not yet, exactly. The only films right now that are listed are Ballerina, which is the spinoff to the John Wick series. Now, obviously, like, no spoilers, of course. I'm curious to know if anything ties into John Wick Chapter 4 for this. I don't want to know, so don't tell me anything. But
and I don't think he's going to have, like, a big role in it because it's, like, it's a spinoff.
Yeah, he's probably not going to have a super big role in it. I'm curious to see how this spinoff pans out. I love Ana de Armas. I think she's fantastic. I'm really curious to see her in an action film again. I feel like they really didn't give her enough to do in No Time to Die. So hopefully they'll give her a lot to do here. Which, I mean, I would think they would, considering that she's the lead of this movie. And this wouldn't be the first time that she worked with Keanu Reeves. They worked together on the very terrible... What the hell was it called? Knock Knock?
I don't... Can we not talk about it? And they also worked in this... They also worked in this terrible movie called Exposed. I don't know. They're both terrible. Don't.
That one I have not heard of. Oh, and apparently Constantine 2 is going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing that's been... Apparently now it's greenlit, so we'll see.
Yeah, but there was a recent thing that Francis Lawrence came out and said that it's happening, so...
Yeah. He was also supposed to do Devil in the White City, but it has been canceled.
Oh my god. That is so sad that series never saw the light of day. They literally just announced like 2 weeks ago that's not happened.
It had everything like, I love.
Marty, Keanu, like...
I was gonna be an Emmy nomination.
I know, Keanu could have been an Emmy nominee. It was gonna be on Hulu, and Hulu does great with their campaigning for everything, so it could have...
How did they fumble that bad?
And Todd Field was supposed to direct it, apparently.
Not Todd Field. Oh, wait. Yes, I like that one. I for a moment, I thought and the director of Joker. I was like,
No, that's Todd Phillips.
I was like, we don't do that here.
Todd Field, the man who made my favorite film of last year. So, you know, that would have been great. I hope that at some point it happens. But we'll have to see. And I remember reading not too long ago that he's doing a film that Jonah Hill is directing.
Yeah, there's a lot going. Like, there's a lot of things in talks, but nothing really concrete yet. So.
Yeah, there's no plot details about this movie outcome that Jonah Hill is directing. I liked Mid-90s, so I'm curious to see Jonah Hill direct again. But it's probably going to be a drastically different film from Mid-90s. Which would be very cool to see him do something out of his wheelhouse. And, yeah, look, that being said, what can we say about Keanu that hasn't been said already? He's seriously just one of the best out there. Yes, his acting may not be the greatest of all time, but his presence is just one of the absolute best in this industry. I get excited whenever I see him at something. I love Keanu Reeves. I love him so much, and I will always be excited to see his name attached to any project, whether it's film, TV, video game. If he's doing an audiobook, I'm more than happy to listen to it. If he's in a musical, let that happen, please. I will be there day one. Gabby literally just like Gabby just got so excited. But anyway, before Gabby passes out on screen, what are your final thoughts on this wonderful, wonderful man, Keanu Reeves?
I love him. I hope he is not too busy for when I make my own film. I want to work with him.
Please, let's make that happen. You could lead him to winning his Oscar.
I think I could pull an award-winning performance out of him. Absolutely.
I believe you can. I could direct absolutely.
It. I could find it. I've seen everything he's in. I can do it.
You have seen everything. You even saw that crappy SpongeBob movie.
And he was in it for 5 minutes. Oh my god, I did.
Yeah, he was like the best thing about that movie.
Yeah.
Perfect usage of him, by the way. Perfect usage of him.
Yeah. I remember when the trailer for that movie came out, everyone was sending it to me and I didn't understand why. Until finally I gave in. I'm like, fine.
Well, because I'll watch it wasn't announced until that trailer that he was going to be in.
I know. And finally I gave in and I saw it. I was like, oh my god.
And then the movie sucked, so it didn't really matter, unfortunately. Yeah. But Gabby, I loved having you on again. Thank you for coming on. It was so much fun to talk to you about Keanu. Like, you're doing amazing things with what you're doing. And I'm just so happy that you made the time to come on to my show to talk to me about Keanu.
Of course. I'm always here to spread the good word.
So where could the people find you online?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Gabby_Burgos27. You can also follow at FilmPosers on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me on Letterboxd and see my Keanu list at Gabby Cristina.
I'll put links for all that in the description below. You guys can follow me on all social medias at Brian Suffield. You guys can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram. You guys can rate the show on any podcast platform that you're listening to it. Rate, review, subscribe, share this around, spread the love of Film Fragments. I'm so grateful for everybody who listens to the show. Seriously, from the bottom of my heart, I love each and every one of you. Please stay tuned. Lots of great episodes, lots of great guests coming your way, so be on the lookout for that. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. This was a really fun discussion. I will see you guys for the very next episode of Film Fragments. Stay tuned for it. It's a great one. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. And go see John Wick Chapter 4 when it comes out. Thank you very much.